That is a good thing for us to confess together this morning, that the Lord God is great and that His love for us is real. And if you believe that this morning, if you believe that the Lord God is great and that His love for us is real, would you let Him know? Let's celebrate that this morning together. Can we do that? Yes. Go ahead and be seated. I've got a passage of Scripture that that I want to read to you this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, and I'm reading to you from verse 15, beginning in verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Pray with me. Father God, thank You so much for Your presence here this morning. Thank You for the work that Your Spirit is doing and has already done in our midst. We submit ourselves to You, Lord God. We want to hear from You. We need for You to speak to us. We submit ourselves to You and to Your authority this morning. God, move in us. Move in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to introduce you to my friend Philippa. She's going to come up here. While she's coming, I want to just share a little bit about who she is and about why she is here with us this morning. Philippa is a pastor. She's the pastor at First Stone Church in Belize. Hi, how are you? Good to have you this morning. We're so glad you're here. So Philippa is a pastor. She's a pastor at First Stone Church in Belize. And I want to let you guys know that May the 27th, we're planning on taking a group of you folks to Belize on a mission trip. We're going to be engaged in the work that God is already doing with people, among people like Philippa in the nation of Belize, and you have an opportunity to be a part of that work. We're going to have an information session coming up real soon about that. We'll let you know more about that, but already, mark it down on your calendar, May 27th through June the 3rd. That's when we're headed to Belize, and you don't want to miss this amazing trip. Philippa is a pastor. She's also on the board for the Word at Work. They're the mission organization that we're going to be going to Belize with. And I've asked her to come this morning and share a little bit with you, because what she has to share with us about her life and about what God has done in her life is very appropriate and applicable to that passage of Scripture that we just read. So, Philippa, if you would, there's your microphone right there. I think it's on. Let's make sure. Yeah, is it turned on? Oh, no. Here, I got you. So, Philippa, would you share with everybody, would you just share with everybody your testimony maybe, and just talk about how you came to Christ and what that story was like for you? Sorry, yeah, that's true. It's kind of high. You got it. You got it. You're one-handed too, right? So, but y'all give Philippa a round of applause. Thank you for being here this morning with us. Yeah. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for having me here, Pastor. Thank you, guys. God is good. Amen.
Yes, He is.
Amen. I love the topic I saw on the screen. It says adopted. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I became a child of God, because I was adopted into the family of God, more so from the standpoint of being somewhat born into a natural family, but being an orphan in my own family, and that's how I came to know God. You know, it's truly a blessing being a child of God. I accepted the Lord Jesus when I was 12 years old, and I heard Pastor talking about, you know, missions. It's important for the people of God to reach out to share the love of God, because had it not been for the people like yourselves, missionary group coming to my country, sharing the word of God. That's how I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So you may never know, you're going on a mission and you may never know the results of that mission, but the idea is a child. I was very much physically, emotionally, mentally abused by my father. This one specific time that led me to the Lord is at that age, a group of missionaries, like I said, came to our the church. I went that night to a crusade they were having. Wasn't attending church because my family wasn't much into the church, but I was invited to go to this crusade, and I went there, and after the message was shared and the pastor calling people up to accept the Lord, I was sitting way at the back, right, standing there looking at what was going on. A missionary lady, she came up to me and she asked me if I wanted to go to the front, and I told her no. For many reasons, as a child, I was very timid. I was, as a young person, being very suppressed in my own family, and I am grateful to God for her, pastor, because it touched for her the love that she went the extra mile, I would say, because there were many people on that trip, but I believe God chose her to go that extra mile. And a lot of us in here today, we may be going out on a trip, but God would use an individual that is willing to go that extra mile. A lot of the times that extra mile is not comfortable for a lot of us, mm-hmm. because it challenges us beyond what our comfort zone is. But I'm glad that she stepped out and yes. came to the back and came and reached me where I was. And that's all God. That's how God works. He will come no matter where you are, where I am, and he will reach out to you to once his eyes are your eyes and his eyes connect, there is no turning back, right? And so that night she came and she asked me if I wanted to go and respond. I accept the Lord, and I told her no, I didn't want to go to the front. And but she noticed there was something different or wrong. And that very day I was very beaten. I had a lot of bruise, a lot of stuff happening in my own self, and I was standing back there wondering about this God who is our father, you know, and here I am having a biological father who have never accepted me. And so I had a lot of struggles going through my mind to understand this love that they were talking about God. And then she came and she kind of put her arm around my shoulder when she saw that I was still hesitant, and she kind of pulled me into her to hug me, and then I flinched. I flinched because, like I said, that was one of the very hard day for me, because I was just beaten that very evening severely. And so when she pulled my collar like this, she saw all the scars. And because she pulled me so, you know, you people like to hug tight, right? it kind of raised some of the bruise, and the blood was showing through the back of my, so she took me outside, and she said something to me that day that made me identify with Christ, like on a different level. She said, I want to introduce you to a man who had the same scars as you have. He is your father. He wants to know you. And if you would allow him, he would be the father that, instead of you having those scars, he bore all those scars for you.
Yes.
And she shared the love of Jesus with me, and praise God, that night I accepted him as my Lord and Savior at the age of 12. My circumstances didn't change, but the love I felt, knowing that someone loved me even despite what was happening, it changed the trajectory of my life forever. I wouldn't be who I am today had I not had that encounter with God when he adopted me into his family, I can truly say that his love has changed my life. Being a part of the family of God, the passage that Pastor read from Romans 8 verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You see, because in order for God to lead you into his will and to his purpose, you have to be led. And some of us are kind of like a mule. No matter how much you're trying to be led, we fight against the leading of God, right? But something very much stood out to me. It says that so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit. Amen. When he adopted you as his own children, you and I receive the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God allows us to call out to him in a fatherly way in order to respond to his love. We have the Spirit of God. We are children of God. No matter our race, our creed, our color, no matter religion, whatever it is, if you are born again, if you are a child of God and you have that Spirit of God, you are adopted into his family. So I may be from Belize and you may be from here, but we are all sisters and brothers in the family of God. That's what the Spirit does. It joins together a people who would have never been joined together had it not been for God. Amen. And so I am grateful to God, Pastor, for the mission that had gone to Belize when I was at the age of 12, because I needed to be adopted. It's like into the family of God. I needed to have heard the message that they were sharing. And when I read this passage that Pastor sent to me that he would have been sharing on, I said, it's amazing because flesh gives birth, truly, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You could love someone that is your biological family, but can you love me that is a part of your spiritual family? Mm-hmm. What matters the most? What will last forever? Is it not the Spirit that adopted us as sons and daughters, as male and female, that would live forever? It's easy for someone to love a child that is born of their own flesh. But can you adopt a child that is born of the Spirit of God, that is your spiritual son or your spiritual daughter? So I am grateful to God, because I didn't know love until I met him.
Right.
I didn't know acceptance until I met him. All my cares, concerns, and worries have been laid at his feet, and he makes my life meaningful because of me being a child of him and me being able to call him my father.
Yeah.
So that's for me, it has changed my life, and it has led me to a place where I don't give birth to physical children. I give birth to spiritual children, because that's what adoption is all about, being able to love someone who is not flesh of my flesh, but of my spirit.
Yeah. What you said, and the first time I heard you give your testimony, when we were at your church in Belize, and you shared that the lady, she said to you, I know a man who has these same scars, right? These same wounds, and he received them for you, right? What a beautiful picture of the gospel. And I'm personally grateful and thankful for that moment as well, right? Because I've, had a chance to speak to you, to get to know you, and the Spirit challenged me, because of what I see him doing in you. But also I see the work that you're doing, and the people that are coming to Christ, and the people that you're training up in leadership in your church and in Belize. And I'm so grateful for that. Would you guys give Philippa a big round of applause? Thank you so much. Thank you. Man. All right, so listen, I'm going to dig into this passage just a little bit, real quickly. There's a few things, and Philip has touched on some of these already, but I want for you to hear these things from this passage of Scripture. This is important. Before we get started, this series that we're in called Adopted, the reason that we're in this series is because what Philippa just said to you, what she just shared with you of her story, her father who abused and who beat her for her entire life, what she just shared with you of her story is the reality for many children that live in our town and in our community right now. There are many children that live in our town and in our community who because of abuse and neglect have been removed from their families and they need help. And so we're talking about what God has done in our life, because what God has done in our life, He desires to do through us in the lives of other people. And that's what Philippa was sharing with you. And I want for you to hear that. I want for you to understand that. At the end of our service today, you are going to have an opportunity to choose to make a difference today in the lives of boys and girls who don't have a family. Today, as you're leaving, you can do that today. And for the next 3 weeks, every time we walk out of this service, you're going to have an opportunity to respond immediately to the call of God on yours and my life to care for those who are orphans, which is our spiritual mandate. And so I want you to hear that. Let me talk to you a little bit about what this passage says about us. The first thing, it says, we've not been given a spirit of fear like a slave, right? Slaves are afraid. Household slaves in the first century were essentially the property of their masters. Their bodies belonged to their masters. Their masters could do whatever they wanted to with their slaves, with their bodies. They could do whatever they wanted to with them. And so a slave lived in constant fear of the master. If the master was angry with them, the master could beat them. The master could do any number of horrific things to a slave, and it was legally accepted in the ancient world and in the Roman world. And Paul wants them to know, you've not been given, you're not a slave of God. You've not been given a spirit of fear where you have to walk around worrying about what God might do to you, about how God might punish you. And that's important because some of us have lived our lives in fear. We live our lives in fear of the next person that might hurt us or that might harm us. And some of us, we are that way because of how we grew up. Because of what we experienced when we were growing up, when we were kids, we know what it's like to live in fear. And we live constantly in that fear, even today. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us, He has called us His children. He's adopted us into His family. Slaves are afraid. Children are secure. Children are secure. Because of their relationship with their parent, right? The children don't have to worry. They have a standing in the house. They didn't have to be afraid like a slave. They've been accepted. Loving parents give their children security. The children don't have to wonder if their parents love them, accept them, care for them. Loving parents settle that question with their children. And so their children live in the security of their parents' love. And I know that there are some of us this morning who are longing for that feeling of security. Our lives feel like chaos. We're always waiting for the next shoe to drop. We're always waiting for people to leave us. We're always waiting for when folks are going to figure out that we are a mess and they're going to choose to disassociate from us. We don't have that security that exists because of the love of Christ, and we're dealing with it all the time. But in Christ Jesus, we can rest in the security of His love. In Galatians chapter 4, this is what Paul says to the church, to the Galatian church. He says, but when the right time came, in verse 4, Galatians 4, 4, when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Listen to this. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. I need you to hear this morning. The Lord God loves you so much that He sent His only Son to buy your freedom. And you and I can rest in that love We have been accepted. We belong in Christ Jesus. And anyone here this morning who is a victim of that chaos, right? You don't feel like you fit in, don't feel like you belong. You wonder if everyone's about to leave you. You don't understand what it's like to live secure in someone's love, right? You've never experienced that kind of love. This is the good news of the gospel for you this morning. This morning, you can discover the love of God in Christ Jesus that never leaves, that never fails, that accepts you as you are, that invites you into his family. That is what it means to be a Christian. Slaves are afraid, friends. Children are secure. And God wants to make you his child. Here's another thing you should see from this passage. New name, new identity. Right? In the ancient world, when the relationships, like people's identity was not formed the way it's formed today, right? You didn't exist as an individual apart from community. Your identity was bound up in the identity of your family and the identity of your community. In fact, people didn't exist in the ancient world and still don't in the East and in the South. They're very communal cultures. And so their identity doesn't exist apart from their family and apart from their culture. That's why in the ancient world it was such a big deal if you were an illegitimate child. It was like you were a nobody, literally. You had no identity because identity was derived from your family. And then for those people who were born into families that struggled or were born into low families, right? Families that were on the low rung of the social structure, they were identified by those things. They were identified by those things for the rest of their lives. That's who they were. But when you were adopted into a family, you became part of a completely different culture, part of a completely different identity. Your identity was reshaped and reformed from the floor up. You were not viewed by anyone in your life in the same way again when you were adopted because you received the name of the family that was adopting you. You received their identity. And so you were never the same after that. And I know that there are people here this morning and your identity is coming from all these crazy places, right? Your identity may be this morning, you may feel like your identity is rooted in your failure. You've done something, you've messed up, you've done something horrible, and that's where your identity is rooted. Other people here this morning, your identity is rooted in shame. Other people this morning, your identity is rooted in something that was done to you. In an abuse or hurt that you've had to walk through, that you've experienced in your life. And when you think of yourself, that's what you think of yourself as. Some of you here this morning, your identity is rooted in an addiction. This thing that you keep struggling with that you can't conquer and you feel like you can't overcome it. And when you think of yourself, that's who you are. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you and I are being offered a new identity. We get to receive God's own name. We get to be called his sons and his daughters. He is inviting you into his family. And everything about who you are will change because of the love of Christ if you will receive it this morning. That's the gospel. That's what God has done, and that's what he is doing in you and I. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Listen, in verse 26, Galatians 3. For you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism, listen, have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We put on Jesus like new clothes. Nothing about us is the same when we receive the love of God in Jesus. New name, new identity. And listen to this. We are claimed and we are loved. When Carson was a baby, I used to just sit and I would hold her in my lap. And you're going to think this is weird, but I would have like full-on conversations with her. We would just talk, you know? And I know that's weird. Some of you are like, well, you never talk, Brad. That seems weird. I can't imagine. But I would. I would sit her up in my lap, and I would look right into her face, and I would have whole conversations. Now, she couldn't talk to me, so I would make up what it was that she might be saying. But we would just talk, man. We would talk. And she would look, she would watch every expression that I made on my face. She would watch, right? And we would talk and we would share. And I would be like, tell me about your day, Carson. You know? Well, Dad, you know, I pooped and I ate and I pooped some more. It was great, you know. Whole conversations. Just staring into each other's eyes. And eventually, you know what happened? Eventually Carson got to the point where we might be sitting there and we might be talking and she would reach out and she would touch my face. And eventually we got to the point where we would be sitting there and we would be talking and she would say, Daddy. Because she knew who I was. Because she knew that I loved her. And overwhelmed by that love and that by acceptance, she would say my name. You understand that's exactly what Paul is describing in this passage of Scripture. Because of what God has done, because God has adopted us into His family, we can sit in His presence, we can stare into His face, and we can cry out, Abba, Abba. That's just like Dada, right? Little kids, they can say one syllable at a time, right? And so that's why we are called Daddy, because Dada is easy to say, and we have to be first. That's why it happens that way, right? Abba is the same thing. Abba, 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 right? Kids will say that, right? And that's how little kids identify their father in the Near East. Abba. And the image that Paul is using is us wrapped up in the arms of God Almighty, staring into His face, Him staring into ours, full of love and overwhelmed by that love, overwhelmed by that acceptance. We can cry out to Him, Abba. That is the relationship that you and I are being offered in Christ Jesus. That's who He wants to be to you, and that's who He wants to be to me. And so when I talk about the gospel here every Sunday, y'all, I'm not talking about a plan of action that you should agree to. I'm not talking about a psychological construct or a philosophical construct that you should adopt in your life. I'm not talking about a way of living that if you do it will lead you to success and prosperity. I'm talking about a relationship with the God of the universe where you stare Him in the eyes and you are able to cry out, Daddy. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be adopted into His family. That's what's available to you and I this morning. We are claimed and we are loved. Listen to this. Our inheritance is glory. Our inheritance is glory. When I was adopted, my dad adopted me. Okay, and sometimes when I'm hanging out with my dad, people will comment. They'll be like, Brad, you know what? You look a lot like your dad, right? Every time they say that, I receive that because my dad is a handsome devil, right? And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I do look like him. He's a good-looking man, right? So I receive that in the name of Jesus, but I know it's a little bit silly because we don't share any DNA, right? You know, in the ancient world, though, they didn't understand DNA the same way we do. It was totally understandable. It was completely accepted and even expected that when you were adopted into a family that you would take on the physical characteristics of the family that you had been adopted to. If you want a famous example from history, Julius Caesar adopts into his family Octavian, right? And when he adopts him into his family, Octavian, who later became Augustus Caesar, is thought to have received all of the aspects of Julius Caesar's character, like a natural born son would have. That was normal. That was a frank understanding that everyone would have arrived at. And what I want for you to understand is that when we are adopted into the family of God, when Paul uses that term, what he's communicating to you and I is that just like an adopted son receives the characteristics of the father, you and I receive the characteristics of the Father when we are adopted into His family. We become His children in every way. And when people begin to look at us, right, they begin to recognize, they should be able to say, you know what, you look a lot like your dad. Because we've received the characteristics of our Father, and not just the characteristics, the glory of the Father. We've received that. It's our inheritance. It's what we stand to receive from God. And so God doesn't want to just adopt you into his family and give you his name and pour out and lavish his love on you. He actually has an inheritance. He wants to give you his glory. He wants you to receive his glory this morning. We don't just have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. We have the opportunity to walk around with his glory in us, flowing out of us everywhere we go, transforming the world around us, the glory of Almighty God filling us up. That's what it means to be adopted into the family of God. But the last thing I want you to see, and this is really important, it's not supposed to be easy. Paul, at the end of this passage, if you remember, Paul, at the end of this passage, I read it, and when I read it, people were like, oh, can we just, you know, every time I read it, I'm like, can we skip over that part, right? But at the end of this passage, he said, but if we are to share his glory, which is our inheritance, right? If we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Friend, let me say something to you as frankly and as honestly as I know how, and I need you to just hear me. I don't know any other way to say this as your pastor except just to say it. If you and I are going to live into who we are called to be in Christ, I need you to know it will cost us. It's not supposed to be easy. It requires sacrifice from us. Being who God wants for us to be, doing the things that God wants for us to do, they're not easy. They're hard. That's why he calls us to do them, because we have to rely on him to be able to accomplish them. And I want to ask you just plainly this morning, as plainly as I know how, what is it that God has called you to do this morning that you are refusing to do because you're like, you know what, that's hard. Be painful. It would be painful for me. It might be painful for my family. I can't do that. Too hard. Friends, if God has called you to do it, it will be hard. It will cost you. And the question that we ask is not, how difficult is it going to be? The question is this: has God told me to do it? And at the end of that question, you put a period, because it's the only thing that matters. What God has called us to do, God will empower us to do. And so if God has called us to do it, then we have to answer him. We have to answer him in the affirmative, right? Listen, is God sovereign? Is he in control of the entire universe? The answer for all of us in this room, if we've accepted him as our Savior, is yes, he is. Yes, we know he's sovereign. Here's another question. Is God good? Does God love us? Does God want what's best for us and for our families? Is God good? If we've trusted Christ with our hearts, we've experienced his goodness, our answer to that is absolutely yes, God is good. If God is sovereign and if God is good, God can be trusted to provide for you as you step into what he has called you to do. It will not be easy. It will cost you. There will be days where it hurts. There will be days where it is hard. But it is worth it, because we're sons and daughters of the Most High. And his life is the one that we want. Whatever other life we settle for is not nearly as good. Do you hear me? So this morning, listen, there's someone here this morning, and you are afraid, you are insecure, you are living in chaos right now in your soul, you don't know what's going to happen next in your life, and you're waiting for people to reject you and to leave you, and you've been living like that your entire life. There are people in this room who are carrying around hurt and heartache and abuse and wounds. You've been carrying them around your whole life. You've been carrying them so long that you think that's who you are. This morning, if you would say to the Lord God Almighty, God, I need you. please rescue me. Forgive me. I give all that I am to you. If you would say that to the Lord God Almighty, God will meet you where you are this morning, and he will cause his name to dwell on you. And you will become a son or a daughter of God. Who's ready for that? Who's ready to lay down the lies that we have believed that have formed our identity and take up the truth of the love of God? Who's ready to do that? And many of us here this morning, we know God has called us to do something. He's moved in our hearts and in our lives. And we know there's this thing that God wants for us to do, but we've been pushing back and we've been fighting because it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful. And we're worried about how it will affect us or how it will affect our families or how it will affect our jobs or whatever else it is that we do. And this morning, the Lord God Almighty is standing in front of us and he's asking us, do you trust me? And if the answer is yes, he says, do what I say. And it's time for some of us to just obey. To lay aside our fears and live into our identity as children of God.